Welcome to the Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 305. And my guest today, offering her dream for us to explore and interpret, and then sharing her story, is Soul Alignment Life and Business Coach, artist, writer, and speaker, Anne-Marie Grace. And as a visionary guide, Anne-Marie helps people break free from conditioning and consciously create their most wildly beautiful lives. Blending psychology, neuroscience, human design, gene keys, and astrology, she translates complexity into grounded clarity, empowering people to reconnect with their inner wisdom, to see beyond conditioned patterns, and to move forward with aligned direction and purpose. And with over two decades of experience spanning well-being, marketing, leadership, and personal growth, Anne-Marie's work sits at the intersection of soul and strategy, supporting individuals to not only understand who they are, but to build lives and businesses that feel as good on the inside as they look on the outside. And through her signature approach, including your soul's unique blueprint, she guides people to come home to themselves, reconnect with their truth, and find the courage to realign with their unique gifts, purpose, and passions. She is the founder of Thriving Through Connection and host of the Wildly Beautiful Life podcast, where she shares practical tools and soulful insights for living with clarity, courage, and authenticity. And Anne-Marie is also the author of the forthcoming book, A Wildly Beautiful Life, although, as you'll hear when we chat, she's thinking about changing that title, but listen in to find out more about that. But anyway, the book expands her body of work into a deeply personal and practical guide to breaking free from conditioning, giving yourself permission to be, and intentionally designing a truly aligned life. Born in Atlanta, Georgia, and now based in Melbourne, Australia, she brings fierce heart, emotional depth, and lived experience to every conversation, as she does to ours. First up, Anne-Marie shares her dream for us to explore and interpret. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you'll know that I ask my guests to tell me nothing about the dream they choose until we start recording, as I know you enjoy unraveling the mystery alongside me. And I should say that exploring a dream with a guest on the podcast is a relatively light process compared to my private work with clients. So on the podcast, we pick out some highlights, hint at some dream interpretation tips, and discover insights that feel safe and appropriate to share in public. Whereas if you consult me privately, we go deeply into your dream, uncover everything you need to know, relate it to your life, and if you wish, apply processes to shift beliefs and patterns that are limiting or blocking you, so you move past stuck, help you see solutions to problems, and generally get inspired about your next steps in life. To find out more about my services and courses, go to janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H, and the direct links are in the show notes. And if you haven't done my course, How to Interpret Your Dream Step by Step yet, today is your day. You can begin right now. The link is in the show notes. And if you have done that course, well, there's time for you to follow through and do the other courses, isn't it? Also, a reminder, just before we go to our conversation, that you can now watch the Dream Show on my YouTube channel. So, enough introductions. Let's go to Melbourne, Australia, and meet Anne-Marie. Welcome to the Dream Show, Anne-Marie.
Oh, thank you so much, Jane. I'm so pleased to be here with you.
It's lovely to have you. And, you know, I dressed a little bit brightly today. I've got a red jacket on, which I can see is kind of working with that red flower in the back there. And then you appear with this beautiful kind of gorgeous orange and red tree in the background. And I do believe that's one of your paintings, is it?
It is actually the ones on the wall over here as well.
Oh.
My house has a surplus of paintings.
So we need to get some of them out there in
Yes,
the world.
more of them moving along would be excellent.
So for those of you that are listening audio, pop over to YouTube and have a quick look at us and you'll see the paintings as well. Anne-Marie, very excited to speak with you. The last time you sent me a little message and said, oh, I hope I have a really interesting dream before I talk to you. And that was like about 2 days ago.
It was.
Did you get one?
I did. You know, it's so funny because I was just saying to some friends this morning that I really retain a lot of dreams. And it's not that there haven't been any, but there haven't been any that I thought, I want to dive into that deeper. And I wasn't convinced that I was going to have something turn up. But 2 nights ago, actually, not this morning, but the morning before, I woke up and remembered three distinct dreams. And one of them is one that I've had several times over the past year.
Oh, fantastic. That's lovely. So, of course, I have no idea what you're going to give me, but pick your dream. I will take notes and let's go.
All right, fantastic. So the dream that I had on recurrence, and I'd say that like probably 5 or 6 times now, I've had some variation of this dream. And it is that I have moved into my new home and I've been living in it for a while. And then I realize that there is an entire another floor or wing to the home that I had forgotten about that is there. And like, it was like I knew it was there when I purchased the home and then I moved in and then totally forgot it existed. And so I haven't been utilizing this section of the house. It's entirely empty. And it's a delightful surprise to be like, oh yeah, that's right. There's this part of the house too that I haven't been using. And you know, it's not the current home that I live in. It's just my new home, right? But it's always the same thing. It might be a new wing with a bathroom and a whole nother bedroom and ensuite. I think the other night it was 2 rooms and a living space. And I was like, that would be perfect for the boys. But it's always the same thing of like discovering that this part of the house exists that I knew, but I had forgotten. And I've been living it for months. And it's like, how could I have forgotten that?
That's fantastic. So, have you actually also recently moved into a house? Was this a total? How long ago was that?
About 10 months ago.
Just because at the end of the dream you say, I've been living in this dream house for months. So, is that kind of like correlated with the same amount of time?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. So, each time you've had this dream, and you've had the dream maybe 5 or 6 times, you said, each time from what you've described, the extra room that you discover is actually different. That bit's not recurring. It's actually complete. Sometimes it's a bathroom, sometimes it's a living room.
Yeah, that's correct. It's like, I mean, when the time when it was a bathroom, it was like a huge grand bathroom and a bedroom and like into another wing of the house. So it's rarely just a room. It's like a huge space in
Yeah.
conjunction. It's like almost a whole floor worth of more rooms.
More
Or so
rooms.
like one time it was, you know, down below, and one time it was a full wing, and another time, just the other day, it was like a level between floors that I just forgotten about.
Oh, I love that, a level between floors.
Yeah.
So it's either a level or, but on the whole, it's not a room, it's the size of a whole wing. It's
Yes.
like, so in each dream, even though you discover this absolutely incredible, amazing space, are you still happy enough to occupy also the kind of the main home?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow, I've got this as well. Why
As
aren't I using it?
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. And if although they're all different, and although most of them are a wing or a level or an in-between level, is there something that you would say that they've all got in common, either design-wise or feeling-wise?
Not design-wise per se, other than it's just more spaciousness, or it's more, you know, and maybe there's some connection to that I've been somewhat unsettled in the current house that I'm living in, and it's like, oh, this is going to make everything better now that I've found this.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, so you can look at a dream and you can look at it on the immediate physical level, you know, and at some level it will be replaying the idea of, yeah, I've got this lovely new home, but could do a bit more space, and it will do that. But it's much more interesting to take dreams more deeply than that, as you, I'm sure you know. So one of the things that you particularly said just there was, or was it something about I'm using different words, but it's on the lines of this is okay, but this will take things to, you didn't say to a whole new level, did you?
So something to that effect. Yeah. It's like, this is going to make life better.
And that was it. This is going to make life better. So there's some element of the dream which is saying, during the time you've been having this recurring dream, there's something that's not that there's something wrong with your life per se, because there's never something wrong with life, but there's, you're aware that there's something that would make it better. And I think I use different words and say take it to another level, just because in your dream you said sometimes it's a different floor, like a different level, and on one it was a level between floors. So it's, yes, that kind of idea of take something to a new level as well.
Yes.
Which will be something that your dreamy mind's probably exploring, either to take to a new level in your life or to take to a new level within yourself, or to find that this will make things better. My life or my work or whatever aspect of it we're looking at is absolutely fine as it is, but, and, this will make it a lot better. Take it to a whole new level, create this whole new wing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And when I was listening to you describe the dream in general, one of the big words you used was spacious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, becoming more spacious at some level of my life and all my work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And even as you say that just now, like, I have like a small emotional response to spaciousness. And I know that that's one of the current restriction is not quite the right word, but one of the current feelings I have in the home that is that there's busyness in the home, and I really wanted more spaciousness, more expansion than what this home provides.
Yeah. So you've got that absolutely in the physical. Where would that also apply other levels in your life where you're feeling, yes, it's great, I wouldn't call it restricted, it's great, but, and... Mm. I want more spaciousness.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, for sure. I mean, we are exploring a potential of expanding beyond the confines of our current city and how that could look for our lives. It's something that until recently, the story that I've allowed and known it was my story, and even in recent years, I've said, the story is I have to stay here until XYZ happens. But in more recent, probably in the past year or two, I've started playing with, okay, that's a story, and what other stories could exist? And I'm aware that I'm using this as my story. What other possibilities are there? And so another possibility looks like a different reality than just being here.
That's absolutely lovely. And I love the word that you're using, story, there, quite correctly. But of course, if we spell that slightly differently and make it story, we've got another floor in a building, another story.
Yes.
Adding another story. And just to backtrack slightly, you said here, you're in Melbourne.
I am, yes.
You're from Atlanta.
I am, yes.
So what you're saying is expanding beyond Melbourne in some way.
That's correct, yes.
Okay. So to do that also, that wing kind of symbol comes in, you know, whether it's the wing of a plane, I'm going to spread my wings, you know, taking the word out of the context, out of the logical context of the dream. Where would you use a new wing in your life? Is it a wing of business? Is it taking flight? Is it expanding my wings? Is it taking flight?
It's all of the above. Literally, the vision that I have would require a plane. It would require another level that I take my business in. And it would be taking flight for all of those.
Absolutely beautiful. And so according to your unconscious mind in your dream, this doesn't have just one possibility, because each time you envisage this extra wing, story, whatever, mm-hmm. it actually looks different and has different functionalities. You know, it's a bathroom or it's a living room or it's bedroom.
Yeah.
So is it more at the moment, the sense of, I want to have this kind of expansion and spaciousness, but I'm playing with the different ideas of how that might look, or even different functionalities?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Looking at how, you know, again, because one of the constraints in my life at the moment, for, again, lack of a better word, but one of the things that I've agreed to in my mind is that the children need to finish high school. And that's one of the things that ties me here. But how else could that look? Because I do have an ex-husband. We do share the children. is there a way to play with that that allows me to step away at times and come back, you know, and build into that expanse? And so, you know, it's interesting. I definitely had not made a tie between this dream and this outward dream that I have for myself, but have been very much leaning into what are the possibilities here? What could it look like different than the current reality that I've created?
That's really lovely. And it's interesting that one of the ones recently you said in one of the dream extensions, you said, oh, that would be good for the boys. So you're kind of looking at that aspect as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So it means that you haven't actually arrived at a final and it's going to be this. And that means none of the other ones are going to happen. You're still playing.
Yes.
But off the top of your mind, without thinking too hard about it, of all the 5 or 6 times that you've had the dream, which has been the best wing that you've had?
Oh, it's so interesting. Look, I come out of all of them and there's like this moment of, oh, that wasn't real. Like, oh, I don't really have that extra part to my house. And even though in the current reality, my house is beautiful and just, you know, fine, but I'm not thinking about, gosh, I wish I had more space in this space, but I love the idea of more space in general. So, you know, in my ultimate reality, my boys would be with me all the time in a new space. Yes. But you know, that's one possibility.
and in the dream symbolism, which ones appeal to you more? The bathrooms, the living rooms, the floors in between floors, and which one of those scenarios kind of puts its hand up and says, "Me, pick me, I'm the best."
Probably that the most recent dream where it was in between floors.
Yeah. So in between floors in that dream, how would you describe the two floors that it was in between?
It was like there was our living space, and then I believe my bedroom, if you want, like our floor of the house was above, and then it was this kind of floor. It wasn't a directly up and down home. It was kind of like, oh, it kind of went out. It kind of went up and out, but and that's how kind of I hadn't seen it. There was almost like a staircase that kind of opened into a large atrium down. And there was like, oh, I hadn't gone up those stairs to see that. Oh, here's this whole other thing.
Yes. Yeah. And that's what I love about it so much, is that feeling that you described right at the top of the dream, as I kind of had this idea when we moved into the house, but then I forgot about it. So, oh, I forgot. Oh, look, there's this whole thing there. So the dream is also about something that you have an idea or a feeling or even a sense of self that you have had before, but you have forgotten. Mm. And so it's not even something you really have to create. It's already there. Mm-hmm. You have just forgotten it. So in the same sense that, you know, you may be looking for a physical solution, a physical new space, or I want to do this idea rather than that idea, or whatever it is, or this, I want to expand spaciously into this idea rather than this. It's almost not creating those things as brand new things, because it's something that has always existed. So, you know, on one level, you could say within myself, within Anne-Marie, there's this amazing sense of spaciousness that I keep forgetting that I've got. Mm. And so I don't actually have to really do anything huge. All I have to do is open the door, climb the staircase, claim the space, and go, you know what, this has been here all along. And I'm just gonna open the doors to it, and let's just step inside it and feel this thing now.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I like that, because that's in my immediate reality.
That's really good. So you said you've had the dream 5 or 6 times. Can you remember when you first had the dream, how long ago that was?
I can't remember exactly. And it hasn't, when I had it 2 mornings ago, it had been a little bit of time since I'd had the one before that, which was, you know, as I was exploring in my mind, what would I talk about? It wasn't top of mind that had been a recurring dream. It wasn't until it landed again that I thought, oh God, yeah, this is, you know, same but different, right? But the theme is always, I'm in my home, and then there's this extra bit of home that was always there, but I had forgotten was there. And
That's really lovely. Just because recurring dreams are usually processing the last 1 or 2 days. So a recurring dream, you can say every time you have that dream theme, in your case, it's an issue that came up a day or two before. So 5 or 6 times, if you remember when you first had the dream, would be this is when this issue first came up.
Ah, okay.
And when you had the dream a couple of nights ago, it came up consciously or unconsciously for you a couple of days before that.
Yep. Well, you know, there is definitely something happening in my current reality where there's conversations about exploring other opportunities. And it will be something that is both a business opportunity, but also a personal opportunity. And there's quite strong knowing for myself that it feels right, but there's also kind of waiting for to see if my husband also sees the vision.
The right moment to open the door and say, hey, this has been here all along. Are you going to come along with this or not?
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And could the same also apply within yourself? Is there a part of yourself that is spacious and amazing and has huge potential, but you've kind of forgotten about?
Well, I would say that I'm just finishing my first manuscript, and I would say that I've known for a while that the book was there to be written. I started it 19 months ago and did a deep dive for about 3 weeks where I went away, had a ton of downloads and transmissions and just what I thought was completed about 95% of it. And then one of the other messages I got at the time was that it was time for new energy. And so I took that to mean it was actually time to move home. Yeah. And I did move home, but I think now I'm realizing it wasn't just a home within Melbourne.
Yes.
so that process has taken me a while to adjust, settle, buy, sell, move. That took priority. The book was put aside. I can see now that there was some more integration that happened, was required to happen before I could complete it. I've just been away another 2 weeks ago to complete that. So I carved out another 10 days to work on it. So I've actually just come home from that, which is when I've had this dream again.
later.
So lots is happening, but I think that there's, with the book, there has been some hesitancy to fully shine in letting that out, because it is quite a different view of understanding how we work and the world works and the consciousness works. And there's been a little bit of trepidation, I guess, about fully exposing myself in that way.
Fully opening the door, opening the wing. Yeah.
Yes.
And I love that you described the book, and we will talk about it a lot more later, about the book as being different from, I'm going to put a different word in here, different from my current reality, their current reality. Because when you were talking about the dream, you mentioned your word reality quite a lot. Like, I woke up and I thought, oh, this is my reality, you were saying. Whereas in the dream, it was a different reality. So you're kind of exploring those other possible realities, as you are indeed doing with your book.
Yes.
And it's just time to open that door.
Exactly.
There are many things you can do that. I mean, you know, this is an easy dream to explore because you could relate to it straight away and you can see all the possibilities. But there are some things that you can do to bring it all on sooner. And one is to either pick one of the new potential layouts in your dream that you really liked and not question too much what particular area it represents, whether it's your book or whatever else it is, but to say, I really, in my dream, I really like the energy of that space. It made me feel this, it made me feel that. If it made you feel so positive, is then during the day to keep visualizing that, or to keep bringing up that sensation in your body, or in your case, we'll talk about your art later, paint it, and not worry too much about, oh, you know, there was a candle in this room. What does that mean? Just, you know, if there was a candle in the room and it made you feel good, paint the candle, visualize the candle, feel the candle, because your unconscious mind is going, this is kind of how I want to describe the feeling of you saying, you know, remember this, step into this, and so to kind of live that symbolism of the dream to kind of bring it on.
Yeah,
you know, people often think that that a dream is about uncovering, and it often is, a limiting belief or a limiting something. And in your sense, as you say, the limiting part is I keep forgetting I've got this wonderful space. But also, if a dream is often about reminding you that something amazing is there, you can use the dream instead of using the dream alchemy to reprogram the limiting belief, you can use the dream alchemy to boost and enlarge the good stuff in the dream to bring it on.
Nice. I like that.
But before we go to talk about your the rest of your life. I want to ask you another question. I'm intrigued by that level that was kind of between levels. So you had the kind of general home on the bottom and like your personal space, but with your husband on the top.
Yes.
So what would be, being a bit more metaphorical about that, what would you imagine would be the space between your everyday kind of life and your personal family life? Where is there a space kind of in between those two things?
A space in between my current life and my, what was the word you used
The
for?
life with your personal life with your husband, because it was you were up there.
Well, I think maybe because I have the separated family model, right? So he has his girls that live with their mom, and my boys share time between their dad and I. I think that middle space, particularly with the last dream, was a space where it was, again, I'm going to use the word spacious. It was spacious enough that the boys wanted to be there, and they had their own space and their own rooms, and a space that it was almost like them probably at a slightly older age. And even though being an American, I don't really go down the track of having my kids in my home for too long because we're used to them going off to college and then spreading their wings and not living in the home. But I definitely want a home and an environment where they feel welcomed and a part of everything and connected. And the same goes for the girls, that it would be somewhere that they can come to feel I belong here, and maybe not always be there, right? So but it's there. And so I think right now it feels very like this is my home and this is my time with my husband. So maybe this is like more of a blended, connected space.
I love that. So you've got that on that level of everyday reality. That's what I want for this kind of protected, blended space for our families. But then also, if you take that deeper, it's that this is an area of myself, my expression, the way that I am, Marie, work, that I want to also expand and have available to step into or step out of. And you almost had the wings metaphor in there too. I expect my children to fly. I would use it to fly home, fly away from home, and just come back occasionally. So it's also looking at maybe some of the other ideas that you've got for changing and spreading your wings that you want to sometimes bring into your life, into your home life, but sometimes you want that out of your home life.
It is absolutely that. And interestingly, one of the dream where I had where I saw the bathroom, and then the bathroom opened up onto another room and then another lounge space. That one I saw for my parents, right? And so my parents are in Atlanta, as is my brother. And so I don't get to see them very often, but like it was like, oh, and now, like, oh, that's right. I have this perfect place for them to come and stay, and they can come and stay for as long as they want, right? Which they and I know isn't all that long, but it was like, a space for them. And so, it's nice to see it from that perspective, that it's all about creating a welcoming place where I can, I think, step up into this more authentic space of myself professionally, but also being able to share it with my loved ones.
That's beautiful. And your unconscious mind during your dreams has no barriers or bars to that. It's even opening up and suggesting that to you, which is great. And so also the same with wherever you do in your life professionally, I want it to sometimes be at home and sometimes not to be at home.
Yes.
It's how to get the balance right is going to be really important to you.
That's right. And I'll give you a small window into the what came to me in 22 was about having a retreat space. So it's a space, but I'm very clear that I need to be separate from the retreat space. I need to be separate from the guests. I need my own. In human design, I'm a 6-2. I need my hermit, my solitude time. But I also want the communal space where everyone feels this is theirs and where I can step into it and share, and then also retreat back to my private area where I can you know, come back.
I love that. And that's got total physical application with your idea of a retreat. I would be the same. I would feel the same. And also for any other area of your professional life that you develop, it's saying I would want to step in at some times and then I want to go home and just be in my little hole by myself.
Right.
Retreat from it. I know that we're going to talk about your human design work and everything. I know that's not how you started. Mm-hmm. So would you like to give us an idea about, you know, I think you had a corporate background to begin with, or marketing. How did you?
Yeah, that's correct. So if we go back even one step further, I was born, and we'll fast forward from there. But I was always a very creative child, and my first year in university, we had to take one form of art, whether it was a music or a drama or a creative art, a writing, a drawing, etc. And so I did that, and then my professor said, "Oh, you must be an art major." And I was like, "Oh, I mean, not like, am I good enough to be an art? I'd love to be an art major, right?" And I was like, "Of course I'll be an art major. Like, what more fun option could I choose, right?" So I did my 4-year degree and studied fine art and psychology. And when I got to the end of my 4 years, I said, "Okay, well, gosh, that was fun, and now it's time to be serious because." You know, real life, to be an adult is to be serious and to be responsible. And that's not, you know, that doesn't mean fun. And so therefore that's not an option for me. And so at that point in time, it was like, well, how can I make art serious? Right. And so I looked at medical illustration and I looked at advertising art. And in the end, I went advertising art and then got about a year and a half into a 2-year postgrad program and thought, my heart isn't in this. Like, they love this and I can do it, but like, I want to be doing something that I really love. And I've known that from day dot. And so I then went on a journey of like 14 different jobs in the span of about, you know, 7 or 8, 9 years where I was trying to find something that I loved in the way that I loved my art. And so the arc of it all was within marketing, within business, because that was the more creative side of marketing or business. And I ended up kind of falling into an entrepreneurial, a startup. And so that also was creative juices and allowed me to spread my wings a little bit more outside of the box. And so I worked within that space. We moved to Melbourne. My first husband's father was unwell and we thought we had a very finite window of time to spend with him. So we arrived here and I thought, well, you know what? They don't do Mexican in Australia. Why don't they do Mexican? I'm going to start a Mexican restaurant. So did that. And we were a little ahead of our curve there. So that did not last. And from there, I was in marketing consulting. I started working with a wine client and I thought that makes sense. I love wine. I love the nuance and the story and the intricacy of wine. And so I went down that path. And then I found, I actually suffered from depression for 16 years during this time.
16 so, years. Wow, that tells you something. You're a bit slow noticing that one.
when I started the Mexican restaurant, I started taking medication for my depression. So I knew I was depressed and I took the medication and then I went skydiving for my 30th birthday. And the girl I was skydiving with, who was also in the plane with me, started to have a panic attack and she managed to calm herself down through her breath. And when we landed, I was like, what was that all about? Like, tell me more. And next thing I know, I'm taking the course that she had taken. That opened up a whole world of, we have the ability to stop the noise in our minds. And it took me down breath and meditation, which was a yogic path. And then after several years of my own personal practice, I found that I'm not depressed anymore. I don't have the headaches I used to have. I don't have irritable bowel syndrome anymore. And so the only thing that's changed is this, you know, different approach to how I am with myself.
Yes.
And so then I was at this crossroads of, do I continue down the wine industry, which I love, and I've worked very hard to get where I am, or do I do something with this other knowledge, which I actually feel is beneficial to the world? And it feels negligent if I don't share that. And so that took me down the well-being path. I worked in that space for about 8 years until we'd gotten through COVID and I was burnt out. I had a software as a service that ran globally, a couple apps, started a conference around the world to share the therapeutic benefits of yoga, and stepped away from that due to burnout more than anything. Yeah. And came across my old drawing portfolio and had a kind of heartbreaking moment of realization that I left that behind based on the story that wasn't an option for my life.
Yeah.
And so that brings me full circle to where I am today, which is I now paint and draw as part of my living. And I also work as a soul alignment coach. So I kind of around the same time was learning more about astrology and human design and gene keys. And I could see the synthesis between the three, and that utilizing each lens gave a more holistic picture of what someone's soul path is. And so I now weave that into business and life coaching to support people when they're at their own crossroads.
I love that. So you essentially rediscovered the calling, but you kind of had the calling originally when you were at art school.
Mm-hmm.
And then you stepped away, and then almost like the dream, you remembered, ooh, yeah. And it was a sense of calling, but then you had to put, it was a kind of ethereal sense of calling.
Mm-hmm.
I want to feel more authentic. I want to do something that lights up my heart. Mm-hmm. I'm beginning to get these techniques that that take away the panic, the depression.
Mm-hmm.
But what do I actually do to help? What tools do I bring in to use this?
That's
and then
right.
I love the fact that your soul alignment approach for people, you've still got, as you said, for life or for business. So mm-hmm. you're still keeping like this personal life and this business. And it sounds to me like you're obviously happy and doing all things, but you've got an awful lot of balls in the air. No wonder you got burnt out that one time. How do you stop burnout now? Because it sounds like you're just so creative, like everything you look at, I can do that.
Yes.
How do you keep it in balance?
Great question. So there are five energy types in human design, and I'm something called a manifesting generator. So manifesting generators are meant to juggle multi-passions at the same time. So learning that about myself gave me permission to lean into, it's okay that I don't have a linear path. It's okay that I don't dig down deep into one thing. It's okay for me to pivot when something is no longer lighting me up. And overlay that with the profile type for me is a 6-2, and the 6 is what's called the role model. They spend the first 30 years of their life trial and error, trying different things. Very much echoes my 14 career.
Yes.
And then there's 20 years of introspection before you step out as a role model. And the 2 is the natural and the hermit. So they have natural gifts that need introspective time and solitude space to nourish and develop those. And so when I learned those things about myself, it allowed me to embrace my path and say, okay, this is not wrong. It's not failure. This is just how I uniquely experience life. And that gave me so much more permission to lean into who I am and how I am. Now, middle of last year, as I was settling into the energy of the new home and also recognizing that, gosh, I actually am feeling a little bit close to burnout. I'm moving in that direction. I had launched my podcast. I was actually having a call with a woman who is something called a reflector. Only about 1% of people are reflectors, and they have none of their energy centers defined, which means that they are very reflective of the environment around them. They amplify other people's energy, but they don't create their own in the same way that the generators do. And she was talking about her own burnout, and it was a mirror. I was looking at it going, I'm actually quite close to that. And I have a meditative process that I've for 18 plus years, I've meditate daily. And around that time, the message, I was just about to launch into a new program with my business, and I'd announced it, and I'd even paused it during the sale. And so this was kind of the next, here I am ready to go. And then I sat down one day about 3 weeks out, and it was like, no, stop. You're not doing that. It's time to rest, to write, and to paint. And I thought, right. I have not announced that. I have announced that I'm doing a program, but I have enough connection now to know that it's when I get a message, I have to listen to that. So I chose to listen, thinking that it was probably going to be a 3 or 4 week break before I started again. And within a week and a half or so, the message that dropped in was, it's time for a sabbatical.
Like this long pause.
That's right. And my thought was, I'm going to take a sabbatical. And, you know, I work for myself and no one's ever going to say, hey, Anne-Marie, you've worked for yourself for 18 years. You have earned your, you've earned your sabbatical, your long service. And so I thought, okay, financially I can manage this. And I'm getting the message clearly that now is not time to push forward. And I've learned the hard way that when I push forward, when I'm getting a different message, I'm pushing uphill. Right? And I thought, I'm not inviting any more uphill pushing. I'm looking for the down. I'm looking for the down here, downhill roll.
You know, listening to the need for the pause or the sabbatical, as you say, are you saying that's pure intuition or that is part of your human design?
No, that was pure.
That's pure intuition. So that was pure may have your human design, and we'll talk a bit more about this later too, as a manifesting generator.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
But then you're using your intuition as when it says, yep, you need to pull back on that a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. So the you know, it's interesting is when I took the sabbatical, I thought, again, this is the mind, right? Let's be productive. Okay, well, I'll come back to my book. I'll write my book during my sabbatical.
I've got perfect sabbatical, but really, really hard writing a book.
Exactly. And so I remember the first day I sat down thinking, okay, I'm going to start on my book again. And a different transmission came through, and it was about connecting to your heart and listening to your heart, which, it is one of the ways that I do my meditation practice, is to go into the heart and ask, what is it that I need to know? And what came through was a writing about that, teaching people how to connect to their heart. And I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's not my book. I mean, it's woven into my book, but it was a standoff and not standoff. It was a one-off piece. And I don't know. I heard put it on Substack. Well, I didn't have a Substack and I didn't know anything about Substack. And I thought, well, okay, I'll start
this other new thing. Substack.
That's right. So I turned that on. I thought I'll put that piece on there. And the first piece I ended up writing another one, which was about the pause and about the importance of the pause and making the decision to take this sabbatical time for myself. And it was almost an explanation to whoever that this is what I'm doing and this is why I'm doing it. And maybe it will make you think, could I give that permission to myself?
Yes.
But it was also explaining, I've had this manager on my back, which is my inner critic, telling me, you must do more, you must achieve more, you must produce more, you must do all of these things to be okay, to be worthwhile.
Yeah.
And so it was a real, it was a mental battle really between the mind and what the heart was telling me, which was kept saying, Anne-Marie, rest, Anne-Marie, rest. And, you know, and I'd have something else pop in, oh, I could do this. And it was this constant tug of war between giving myself the allowance and grace to take the rest.
Yes.
And the mind trying to interject and say, no, you still need to prove yourself. You still need to achieve. You still need to.
Yeah,
it was really interesting.
So interesting. So on that level, you know, as a in human design, you're a manifesting generator, mm-hmm. and yet you're describing that almost as a mind thing, because it's the mind that kept kicking in and saying, oh, you have to create this, you have to create that.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just to, we'll come back to where we are now, but to go back slightly for people listening and people like me that don't know a lot about human design, and to help us to understand whether it tends to be a mental programming based on things like, if you feel you're not good enough, you are a reflector, whatever. Are the human design types that you identify in people manifestations of their earlier experiences in life, or?
No, they are not. That's a great question. So human design is directly pulled out of astrology. So all you need is your time of birth, your place of birth, your date of birth, and your profile is generated from that. So it is something that you have, energetics that you have brought in, just in the same way that you have DNA that determines if you have blue eyes or brown eyes. The understanding from the lens of human design is that you are in bringing in planetary energetics as well. And so beyond just astrology, they use something called the I Ching or I Ching. Some people say it differently, that has 64 gates. So depending on exactly where it falls in something called the Rav Mandala, you can identify which gates are defined and therefore most consistent energies in your life. So we all have access to all 64 of these gifts, if you will, but some of them are stronger in us because of where Mars was at the exact moment we were born and whatnot. And it also aligns with the energy centers or the chakras. So it's weaving together a few different dimensions together into the one, but I have, together with my own experience and my clients, just found it to be so, you know, there are moments where you go, oh, I don't see that so much, but that usually weaves back to you've been conditioned out of things. So for instance, if you look at my chart, my chart says that I'm quite introspective all growing up. And I think how I come across to most people is more extroverted. And I've always kind of said, well, if you were to draw a line, I'd be like just slight to the left of, you know, the middle line. I'm slightly more extroverted than introverted. But I have been conditioned to believe that extroverted is better than introverted, that we should be putting ourselves out there. We should be the leader. We should be right. And so because I've learned that, and it's my belief that that's better, well, I want to be better. Right. And so some of that conditioning, right. Conditioning shapes every experience. Right. So how do we come back to our inherent nature? And so, you know, what I've weaved together in my book is kind of an understanding of awareness of conditioning and how that plays out. And I use my own personal story as that to help people consider things for themselves. And then we look at permission. So the first part's called breaking free. The second part is called permission to be, and that's coming back to your inherent design. Yeah. So looking at what astrology, gene keys, and human design say for you. And then in the third arc of the book, we go into how do you now craft your most wildly beautiful life?
Yes.
Not based on the stories or what you should be, but actually who you are and what's in your heart.
I really love that. You know, another way of different words you could choose around that was at that third level, creating the wildly beautiful life that could almost be like these wings of your house that you open up. Oh, there's the wildly beautiful life. Oh, what was I doing? Oh, no, there's the wildly beautiful life.
Yes, yes.
So when you work with people, you take them through that three-step process really of releasing their understanding and releasing their conditioning and their limitations.
Yeah, that's right. Soul meets strategy. Because I'm very strategic, but it's all about what's inside and how do we tap into that and allow that to be what leads you forward.
So thank you for that. One other question just before we go back to your year of pause. Was it a year, like your sabbatical?
It was about 5.5 months.
5.5 months, okay. A year for anyone else, but good going for you, yeah. what are the, for people that don't know, what are the other categories of human design?
So energy types, there are the generator and the manifesting generator, and that's about 70% of the population. They are people who have their sacral center defined, which means that's their life force. And so individuals who are generators or manifesting generators will, if they're doing something that lights them up in the world, then when they wake up every morning, they have just as much energy as they had the day before. And it's almost like they're, you imagine a battery. And as you go through the day, the battery gets smaller and smaller. And then overnight, the battery recharges and then they start again.
Yeah.
And then the remaining 30% are projectors, our manifestors, and our reflectors. So about 20% are projectors. They're here to manage, to lead, to guide. They don't have that sacral life chakra defined, but they are here to amplify other people's energy. They see the big picture, they can have the vision, and they can support and guide people, but they're not using their own energy to do the work.
Yes.
And then you have your manifestors. Manifestors are the people who are having the ideas. They're the thought leaders. They are the ahead of the curve, where, you know, just ahead of everyone else. And not everyone's going to see their vision. Some people are going to think, well, they're, you know, crazy, but they are meant to just keep going. They see something that most people don't see. Yeah. And they're manifesting ideas into reality. So each of these types have different strategies of how they best make decisions and use their energy. And then the reflectors are the ones who have nothing defined and are really just reflecting back to everyone what the environment is, what the health of the environment is. So people who are generators and manifesting generators, when they're in alignment, they're going to feel satisfaction and they're going to feel frustration. And for manifesting generators, anger and frustration when things aren't working right. Whereas our projectors are going to feel, they're going to feel successful when they're in alignment, or feeling bitter when, and yeah. My husband's a projector, and their strategy is to wait for the invitation. So they see what could be better, but if they offer it without being invited in, then they're going to be met with a hand. No, I've not asked for your opinion here. Their strategy is to wait for the invitation. Whereas with generators and manifesting generators, it is to respond to what you see. You see something, you hear something, you experience something and go, oh, I've got an idea. And then you respond to the experience. And then our manifestors, they are here to just go, and they can inform others where they're going to help create an easier, a less resistant path, yeah. Right? They're not asking for permission. They're not saying, oh, I'd like to do this. They're saying, I have this idea. I'm doing it. I'm just letting you know. And they're off, right? And so they work in real big bursts of energy, and then they need their downtime. So the world has been set up, the world in which most of us live has been set up for the 9 to 5. That's a generator style energy. It's like show up every day, do the same thing, you know, use the same amount of energy, just go, go, go. They can build, they can keep going. But if they're, and they're very capable, but if they're doing something that isn't truly aligned to what they want to do, they can still become burned out. So yes. For me, when I made the decision to step away from the yoga and meditation software business, my enthusiasm and love and passion for that space had diminished over time. Not that I didn't believe in its merits, but I was ready to, I actually knew that I wanted to go deeper into other more esoteric areas. Yes. And I had niched myself very small into the scientific side of yoga. Spirituality was really glossed over in that small sector of yoga.
And it was strategy, but little soul.
That's right. And I wanted to talk about some of the other things. Like I was getting huge downloads, and I felt my voice was suppressed to stay in that. And so the right decision for me, and I didn't know this at the time, but as a manifesting generator, is to say, okay, that no longer lights me up, and it's okay. It's actually right for me to pivot. Great. It's okay to say, yep, and on to the next thing.
That's absolutely lovely. And that was what your 5.5 month sabbatical did for you, really helped you to kiss goodbye to some things. And
well, yes. I mean, like that experience of leaving that company was back in 22. Oh, yes. So it's been a longer journey than that.
Sorry,
but
yeah.
I think the sabbatical, what it really gave to me was this realization that I am not my productivity.
Yes, that's excellent. Gosh, so many people, including me, need to remember that. because I don't know what I am, and I'm not asking you what I am, human design wise, because I know that'd be a big process. But I know that I am have lots of creative ideas, and you can't do them all. There are other things important in life. Yeah.
Well, that's right. It's all about prioritization, right? Yeah. What's important. But I will say, Jane, it's actually quite easy to get. You can on my website, which is just my name, annemariegrace.com/unique. Actually, it's on the homepage. You can just go there. And all you need is your birth date, time, and location. And you can pull up free exactly who you are. And it will tell you a little bit about your design type. And it will go into your astrology and your gene keys as well.
Right, I'll put that in the link in the show notes as well. That's really good. So huge unanswerable question, really, but I'll ask it anyway. So in the way that you work at the moment, we are born with the human design and all this patterning, and our job is to overcome the conditioning of our early years and get back to that. To what purpose are we born into a world where we forget our human design, our calling, our nature?
I think we're born into a world of free will. And, I think there are absolutely some people who, when you look at someone's astrological chart, you can see how easy or more challenged their path might be based on placement aspects, where everything falls. And I don't know, have those people gone through several tens or hundreds of incarnations, they get to have an easier life or a harder life. I don't know why or how our soul chooses the challenge or not, but my belief is that our soul chooses or is assigned the individuals we come through, that we have lessons that we are meant to learn. Some of us learn those lessons more quickly than others. And I don't understand fully the nuances of, certainly why some of the more challenging things need to happen for those lessons to be learned. That's part of the theory of it all, I think.
I totally agree with everything you said there. It's just lovely to pose the question and see someone else trying to work it out, the words to use to explain it. So before we talk about your book and your painting, if someone comes to you, for you to help them, that you said, soul alignment coach, which we can get that picture, the soul alignment aligning to your human design, gene keys, etc. How do you actually go, what's the physical process? Is it one consultation? Is it many? What do you do with them? What's the experience like for them?
Yeah, it really depends on the individual and what they're coming to me for. I mean, some people will come just for an astrological reading. I prefer working with people for longer than that because I think that there is that's just, scratching the fingernail deep surface of something. Most people will come and do a 3 or 4 session pack as a starting, and then we can continue on from there. So my soul meets strategy can be done in either 3 or 4 sessions. And, at the beginning, we look at kind of some of the things that I use more when I was a marketing consultant, even we look at their ikigai, like what's their reason for being, what are their values, what's the version of success that they hold in their mind as to what it is. But then we step away from the mind. So we start with the mind, right? We will see what's there. And then we go into some future visioning and actually connect into the heart space. Okay, what's actually and behind all of this, right? Because the mind has been conditioned and sees through a certain lens. And when we take that lens away, through meditation in this format, we can get to what's underneath it all. And so once we have some clarity about that, then like to bring in the inherent design that sits behind all of it. So that's unpacking their astrology, their human design, and their gene keys to get some really clear indications. And there's very rarely a surprise in this. Most people are like, oh, I know that. Yes, I know. And it's like it's things that we know, but we have kind of tucked away or deemed not as
Like
important.
the recurring dream. I forgot about that.
That's right. Yeah.
Close the
So,
door on that one.
and just like my art, like, I mean, I knew how much I loved it, but my conditioned mind, and I love my father to death. He is Capricornian through and through. They are serious and responsible, and they are older than they are younger. Like, there's all about like Excel, right? And so what I had learned was life is serious. Life is meant to be responsible. I'm supposed to achieve. Like, I have to do all of these things, and fun does not equate to real life, right? Fun is, but children do, right? And so it's been this process of allowing. So I bring back in like, where is the play? Because as adults, we need to play. We need to be
Oh,
able to
yeah.
connect into our creativity and our imagination. So once we are clear about where they want to go and we have looked at the inherent design, now we can apply some strategy to say, okay, how are we going to begin to make the steps to bring that future vision closer into this reality.
Really, really lovely. And eloquently described there as well, which is so nice to hear. So your book.
Yes.
You mentioned that there were several dilemmas about your book, but you've obviously resolved them now because you've just finished the first manuscript. So where are we up? What's it called? A little projection into the future. When's it likely to come out? And then back to where are you up to?
You know, I was going to call it A Wildly Beautiful Life, which ties into my podcast. But just over the weekend, I've heard A Soul Unleashed, and I might be making it the latter, A Soul Unleashed, and it would be Breaking Free, Permission to Be, Crafting Your Wildly Beautiful
Life. I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
Because you can't have the wildly beautiful life without unleashing the soul. And when you do have the wildly beautiful life, your soul is unleashed.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So beautiful. I suspect that's what it's going to be called. But I literally finished writing 99% of it a week ago. Have just returned home from a little sojourn to kind of tie it through. And on the very last day, I suffered a very horrific case of vertigo. And I have 2 or 3 chapters that need some just slight tweaking. And then, the next step is to start reaching out to literary agents. So that's where I am. So
fantastic.
Watch this space, and hopefully we'll have found some traction with that soon.
And did you find when you wrote the book that it really encapsulated everything that you've learned so far? Or did it surprise you when you were writing it? Did it surprise you with insights that you actually didn't know you had, like some of those doors in your dreams? Oh, I didn't know I knew that. The next chapter.
For sure. When I started it 19 months ago on the first trip away, I was waking up 2 or 3, 4 in the morning, almost every day, waking up to a dream or to a knowing, and knowing that that was what I had to write about. And so then I would write until about 11 in the morning and then have a little break. And so absolutely, the information was coming through me. It was, you know, and I go back now and like, oh, that's quite good.
Quite like that.
Did I write that?
Yeah.
At the same time, as I was leaving, and this was September of 24, right? As I was wrapping it up, as the last kind of addition, added in something around the blueprint. So I call it your soul's unique blueprint, where I've synthesized those 3 frameworks together. And I added something into the appendix about that, kind of like, oh, and here's another way of looking at it. And what I realized now, 19 months on, was, oh, actually, this is a big, an inherent chunk of it. And so we moved that to the middle, and I had to flesh all of that out. And so right now I'm just kind of doing the final carve through of, have we, I don't want, it's an interesting thing, right? Because a lot of people have not heard of human design or gene keys. Certainly astrology people know, but a lot of people only know it from the Sunday news columns or magazines. Yeah. And it's such, you know, it's just your sun sign, right? And people don't even know that's the sun. They just know it's their star sign, right? And so when you extract into actually the detail of it all, it can A, seem overly woo, and B, it's also incredibly complex. So how do you distill that information in a way that is easy to consume and doesn't put people off who would not naturally choose a book that goes into that?
So how did you do it?
Well, I start with my own story. Hopefully that's enough for people to go, I can see myself in that. And then as we come into the second part, as we end the first part, hey, this is your choose your own adventure path. You know, if you are a crosswords like prana and chakras, and maybe have done a little bit of delving into this, you might want to just continue reading. If you have not, go ahead and jump to part 3. Go into the practical implementation of crafting your life. And then when you're finished with that, you can come back to look at your design.
That is really good. That is really good. I love that approach.
Yeah.
Yeah, really excellent. And I love the way that, you may have been 18 months ago, whenever it was, you may have been approaching burnout. So this new idea plopped in as an appendix. And then after a while, I'll just put it back in. I'll just do all this work to bring it in.
That's right.
That's really great, Anne-Marie. And finally, I mean, there's so much else we could talk about, but I do understand that your paintings are not only adorning your walls, but people can actually buy them too. Is that right?
Absolutely, they can. And I also do commission pieces as well. So,
Oh, what kind of commissions? It's kind of subject.
well, you know what? It can be. My goal is to help create more joy in the world. So it's whatever someone's joy is. So for my son, he wanted me to draw pictures of my dogs, right? And so that's a more realistic charcoal portraiture of my dogs. Some people, you know, this is one behind me is quite, is still representative, obviously, of a tree. Other things are just pure bursts of color. And it really comes down to what feels joyful to the person that I'm working with. So we look at actually what brings them joy, if there's an item or an object or a scenery or just colors, and I look at the space that they have, and then we kind of go from there. Otherwise, people can just look through what I have available and go from there.
Gosh, I love that because commissions, of course, are traditionally, oh yeah, I'm a children's artist or a pet artist or whatever. I love that sense of being commissioned to create a work of art that reflects your energy or invites you into a new energetic space or whatever.
You know, when I was contemplating doing my art more seriously, I listened to someone's spiel about how to be an artist and her steps, and they were saying, you know, you really have to make sure you have your style. And you know, I do have a style-ish, but I well, I won't show you, but like I find it too boring to just do the same thing. And that's probably part of my manifesting generator. Like, I don't want to do the same thing over and over and
I
over.
love
Like,
it.
I am really, I'm moved by whatever emotion is there for me. And sometimes that is a quite a realistic landscape. And other times it is just a burst of color. Or, you know, again, which medium am I using? Like the one in front of me here that I'm looking at is charcoal with acrylic and pastels. But a lot of the pieces are just oil or
Wow, so you even change your media.
yes.
I can't even draw a single picture. I could probably do, I could probably splash some colors around, but that would be about as far as it gets.
And I'm only going to say that's your story, Jane.
Yeah, it is. That's true. I can break out of that. Oh, look, there's a whole room here. It's got an artist's easel, and I could just walk in there and paint a new picture, couldn't
But you could. And here's the thing. Because we all are inherently creative individuals. We are creative in our thoughts. We are creative. And we were people who believe that they can't create were conditioned out of the belief that they were not as good as others. You know, when our prefrontal cortex kicks on when we're 7 years old and we begin to notice that Sally or Tom are getting compliments from the art teacher and we're not, we create a story that, oh, I'm not as good at this. Oh,
Actually, it's a
but I'm
little bit
good at
true for me because my sister was a brilliant, who's younger than me, was a brilliant artist at school, and I was very much told by my mum that, don't dabble in art because that's your sister's area. You're the scientist. You go over there and do that stuff that you can do. So I still do believe that, it would take me about 3 million years to produce a work of art that was anywhere near what she can create. But still.
I understand that your mother's comments were well-meaning, and that's
So
not a
deep.
story you have to continue to
No,
continue.
that's right.
Should you
Yeah. Thank
change
you.
that?
Thank you, Anne-Marie. That's so lovely. Watch this space, everyone. I'm going to open an art gallery of my own paintings for everyone to buy. I'm going to put all your links in the show notes, the link to your the one that we described where people can go and get their own human design, the link to your website with your pictures and other links that you've given me.
Beautiful.
For people that don't go to show notes, would you like to finish verbally with one last link that you'd really like to leave them with?
Look, I think the best place is annemariegrace.com. My name does not have an E, so just
Nice
AnneMarieGrace.
and easy. That's really lovely. Well, thank you for a delightful conversation, for showing us your artwork as well, and also allowing us a peep into some of those rooms that are like your dreams, the kind of little doors that you can open, but and also for us to get a feeling for some of those huge doors you might yet be walking into and spaces you might be creating for yourself. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, it was my absolute pleasure, Jane. I really appreciate the time you've taken to share with me and help me consider what the spaciousness of these extra wings of my house really are asking of me.
That's lovely. Thank you.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Every time I record a podcast, I just get to the end and I think, oh, I could have talked for so much longer with that person, found out more about what they're doing. And I'm sure that you're enjoying it too. If there are particular guests that you think would suit the Dream Show that you'd love to hear more about, and they're happy to talk about a dream on the show, get in contact with me. Email me through my website at janetheresa.com and make your suggestions. It might even be you that wants to come on the show. So you have an idea if you've listened to several episodes now, 305 to be precise, you'll have an idea of the kind of guests that we obviously love to feature on the Dream Show. And it may be you, maybe someone you know, who knows. After we finished recording our conversation, just before we said goodbye, Anne-Marie lifted up her laptop or her phone, I'm not quite sure what she was using, her device, and she took me on a tour around her home, looking at all her artwork on her walls, and it was such a delight. And she has such a, she's definitely not a one-style artist, such a variety of styles and subject matters. So you can go to her website at annemariegrace.com and explore everything that we've talked about, but you can also have a look at some of her artwork. So I do encourage you to go and have a look at that. She particularly wanted to feature her forthcoming book, which originally was called A Wildly Beautiful Life. And as you heard during our conversation, may just change its name, but stay in touch and you'll find out. All the links that you need from today's show and things we've discussed are in the show notes. Another little prod, have you done any of my courses yet? You can start today, right now, with my first course, How to Interpret Your Dreams Step by Step. Sign up at my website at janetheresa.com, or if you've already done that course, progress on to do the courses that lead on from there. You can find all about it either directly at the Dream Academy, my learning platform, and the address for that is dream-academy-online.com, or get there via janetheresa.com. And janetheresa.com is also where you can find out about how to consult me about your dreams in so much more depth than we do with our guests, or to buy my books and so on and so forth. Thank you, as always, to Ewan Gray for sound editing, video editing, and composing our theme music. And thank you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. If you haven't technically followed the show yet, please give us a follow, whether you're looking on YouTube and watching the visuals, subscribe to the YouTube channel, that would be very nice, or follow at Apple Podcasts, Spotify. The more you follow and subscribe, the more the algorithms show the podcast to other people. We are in the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide. It'd be nice to get even a little bit higher than that. And in any case, it's just lovely to share the conversations that we have with guests and the information and inspiration, I hope, about the importance of looking at your dreams and understanding them. So until next time, have a beautiful day. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson.